Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Jessica Rosenthal. This week we spoke with two Republican congressional candidates in two very tight districts as the GOP fights to end one-party control in Washington. Beau Hinds in North Carolina 13 and Jennifer Ruth Green in Indiana 1. She's challenging freshman incumbent Congressman Democrat Frank Mervan. This district hasn't had a Republican representing it in over 90 years, but Green says the district has changed. Home to Gary, Indiana, and a lot of critical steel manufacturing, Green says she's got plans to address the economy specifically for her district, though Mervan notes on his website the United Steelworkers Union has endorsed him. But Green, an Air Force veteran, has made the race competitive, and the Fox News power rankings have it as a toss-up. We often have to cut interviews down for time during the week, but thought you might like to hear these full interviews. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the Weekday Rundown podcast if you haven't already. Now, up first is Jennifer Ruth Green on the Fox News Rundown Extra. So I was reading this district hasn't had a Republican for 92 years representing it. I mean, you'd really be making history if you won.
We're so very excited. Yes. So 92 years, it's been a long time, and it's time for change because we see the gravity of the impact of failed leadership and failed policies. And so people are hurting. Hoosiers deserve better. And they believe I will bring it to them come November 8th. And that's why it's there's just a groundswell here. It's very, very exciting to be a part of.
Tell me, I know there are plenty of differences between you and the incumbent here, Frank Mervan, but what do you see as the most important or consequential difference that you want to highlight to your constituents or your potential constituents, I should say?
We are at the point where the most basic needs of humanity are not being taken care of. And we have a congressman who's focused on things outside of that. If we look at Maslow's hierarchy of needs, people need to eat. And when you have a family of four, I was just talking to a woman named Chanel this weekend. She's a parent of three young girls. Job. I'm working a job, but I have to go to a food pantry to be able to take care of them. And she said, it's absurd because I am working, but I have to work to make ends meet because I cannot afford it while paying my gas bill, while paying my car bill, while paying my rent. And so at the end of the day, she just says, my basic needs are not being taken care of. So it doesn't matter what else anybody else is shouting about. People do not have bread. And that's the big deal for us right now.
I'm pretty sure I've driven through this district, or at least close by it, up 65 from Indy to Chicago. It's been a while since my IU days. But tell me about this district now, because some of the analysts note this is precisely the kind of district that, while traditionally blue, is shifting. What's in this district that you see that may be indicative of voters being ready for that kind of change?
First of all, on the political side, we saw that the redistricting added a little bit more purple. It didn't really do much for the district as far as new numbers go. But we have an influx of people coming in from Illinois, people who see Chicago politics, people who see what blue politics on extreme do to a community. And they just say, we want different. High taxes also are something that they flee from. And so we welcome them here, and they bring ideals that match Hoosier values. And so that influx is helping us. Also, this is a working class economy. This is a working class district. And we have 27% of the nation's steel that comes from here. And so people just go to work. They want to raise their families. They want to make sure that they can provide for them. And they want to keep people safe. And so those are their focal points. And when we look at that, those are things that the Democrats are overlooking. They're not concerned about crime. They're not concerned about keeping people safe. They're not concerned about allowing parents to have an educational choice. They're not concerned about putting bread on the table. They're not concerned about letting people retire after working for many years because pensions have dropped by 20%. They're just not concerned about the basic things that people need, and people are starting to see it. So I think in this race, as we've looked at things, the race is not about Republicans versus Democrats and asking people to become Republicans. The race is about who's going to take care of you. And in all of our messaging, we've talked to people about ways that we're going to be proactively taking care of them, and people are encouraged and excited to see it.
Yeah, to that point, you know, a lot of folks on the campaign trail are talking about, you know, bringing business to their districts, you know, newer industries, whether that's semiconductor plants, solar panel manufacturing, electric car batteries. As you just referenced, you know, Gary is known for its steel. Though my understanding is a lot of what happens in steel manufacturing is being automated. What would be your focus in terms of economic revitalization or helping out the district economically?
So I think we have to be stronger about making sure that Americans are making our steel products. And so when we talk about the district, I think there's a big picture thing that we could look at or view that we could look at regarding all of the avenues that, you know, for why Northwest Indiana is perfect. And I think that has to do with our infrastructure. We have roads, we have rail, we have air, we have water, and all of those opportunities exist here. So we can capitalize on those very clearly. However, I think we have to get our steel industry out of this deficit arena. And so our congressman was the co-chairman of the Steel Caucus, but has not once contested, you know, President Biden in discussing rolling back blanket steel tariffs to now these quota tariffs. And he's also leveraging steel with the European Union. And so all of these things hurt our workers. And I believe as a military member, steel is our first line of defense. And so I feel very strongly that if we continue to allow China to have an input into our steel market, knowing that China wants to overtake us militarily and economically, then when it comes time to defend ourselves against China, they're not going to sell us the steel to defeat them. That's why it's most important to keep steel here. So we have to deal with our deficit first and make sure that we can restore steel here in America. And then we can talk about additions, but we really have to get steel in our industry and that particular industry specifically spun up first. So that's what I want to focus on.
Interesting. You tied your military experience into your argument there. I do want to ask you, you did serve, I believe, in the Air Force. Correct me if I'm wrong. Tell me your thoughts on Ukraine funding, because there's a lot of talk right now that a House majority may, a Republican House majority might have a bit more scrutiny on the amount of money going to Ukraine. I just want your thoughts as somebody who's served.
I appreciate that. You know, when we were watching, you know, the war on terror, I had to write multiple papers with Air Command and Staff College and Air War College discussing some of these specifics. As far as spending goes, as far as lives go, as far as the execution of our efforts there. And so part of that time caused me to review the Inspector General reports that come out quarterly. And so you get to see the amount of money that's spent. You get to see where it's spent. And I think that's a transparent way for people to be able to recognize that our efforts are going towards a concerted avenue. Well, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm very clear. It is in our best interest not to have an emboldened Russia continuing to invade sovereign countries. And I think it is very important for us to do that. But I also believe that we should not leverage the tool of the power of the purse to shut down the government. I believe that we should have great oversight, and the Inspector General should have a dollar for dollar review so that we know exactly where that money is going. And I also believe that we should have our counterparts and other allies to the Ukraine come through and provide a lot more assistance than they are providing now. We are carrying the brunt of this burden, and I think other countries who are closer to Russia should have the same value of responsibility, because it is a grave danger for them to have an emboldened Russia who feels like they can invade sovereign countries as well. So those are the three things I would like to see. I want to make sure that we have clear views on how where our money is going and transparency to that end. I want to make sure that we don't, that we stave off an emboldened Putin. And I want to make sure that we have allies who are ready to jump in and help in this situation. So that's what I'd like to see with Ukraine.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.
Domestic question. A lot of Republicans have not committed to this idea of a national abortion ban, right? They're saying this is a state's issue now. But I was reading you, would you be open to one? Would you sign on to national legislation that would address abortion? Or do you believe this is this is now a state's issue?
So see, I think those are two different questions. So when my opponent talks about a national abortion ban, he uses that phraseology specifically, meaning from the federal level, I'm going to say no abortions, never, ever. And that's absolutely not true. But when we talk about federal limitations, see, I believe that Indiana has given us great clarity in our laws. The Indiana Assembly elected legislators have said exactly what they believe. They've provided specific abortion regulations or oversight, I guess, legal opportunities for rape, incest, and life of the mother. And they've given a permissive stance for the reasonable accommodations that the majority of Americans want. And so I appreciate the fact that Indiana's already decided it, but in no way am I trying to create or do anything with a federal abortion ban at all.
Okay. I want to ask you a bio question, meaning your bio. I was reading the political article that with you in the airplane, you like to fly to as like sort of a way to relax, which I could never imagine relaxing while flying. But but it quoted you as saying, you know, because you're African American and conservative, and that growing up you felt that you looked around and it was like just the Rices and the Powells, and like it felt very limited. Does it feel that way now? Do you feel like things have shifted? And if so, why do you think that shift has happened?
I feel like definitely the Republican Party has a lot of work to do in this arena. And so I think, and that's the party itself, but I do think that Black people in general are conservative. We are church-going people, and we see the Bible and hear what the Bible has to say. And so I think people generally are conservative as African Americans, but then the Democrat Party has done a better job of pulling the population in as a whole. So I think there are a lot of dynamics. As a Black conservative, I feel like there are a lot of Black conservatives. As a Black Republican, I believe that there are not a lot of African Americans who are ready to be Republicans.
Hmm. Interesting. So it's ideology versus like a party label.
Absolutely. 100%.
Last thing, briefly, first thing you want to do when you get to Congress, if you get there, what's your number one priority after, you know, getting in the office?
I just want to learn people. I want to make sure that I sit across from the people in this district who would not have voted for me or who are leading cities that perhaps wouldn't have favored voting for me. And so I just want to sit down and shake hands and say, how can I learn from you what your people need? And I want to make sure that the districts that I haven't had the chance to connect with, or the people in the district I haven't had the chance to connect with, that I do that. So I look forward to spending time shaking hands and listening, because there's a population in this district that I haven't had the opportunity to hear from. They've heard from me, but I haven't had the opportunity to hear from them because they don't go to GOP rallies. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, Indiana 1st Congressional District Republican candidate Jennifer Ruth Green, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jessica.
We also spoke with North Carolina Republican congressional candidate Beau Hines. The Yale graduate and college football player is just 27 years old, but he says his youth is an asset. He's running in Congressman Ted Budd's District 13, as Budd is the Republican candidate for Senate. But the district's been redrawn and now includes the suburbs of Raleigh, a fast-growing area in a fast-growing state.
I don't even know if you've heard this because it just came out, but our own Fox News Power Rankings has moved your seat from toss-up category to lean Republican. I wonder what's your reaction to that? What's your sense of this district? It seems pretty politically split, pretty almost evenly divided, based on some of the previous numbers we've seen. What's your sense of where the district is right now?
Yeah, I mean, we're very excited by that, and we can feel the momentum on the ground. I mean, we're talking to voters every single day, and you know, Republicans are very enthusiastic about voting. And honestly, it's because they're fed up with a failed Biden administration that's, you know, contributed to skyrocketing inflation, leading to the increased price of everyday goods, and people are fed up with it in the United States. I mean, right now we have 8.3% inflation, which is the equivalent of 1 month's salary for the American people. I mean, that's just unsustainable. You know, people want common sense leaders that are willing to meet their needs and serve in a capacity that benefits them. And that's not what we've had under the Biden administration. And the American people are fed up with it. And the people in our district are no different from that.
Of all the differences between you and your opponent, State Senator Wiley Nickel, what's the one thing you're trying to highlight the most or that you want your constituents to know about the most?
Well, you know, I come from a family of small business owners. I understand what our business owners need to thrive, survive, and to create opportunity here at home in North Carolina, specifically North Carolina's 13th district. You know, my opponent is a radical leftist that moved here from California. He's spent his whole life defending criminals. And that's just not who we need in Congress. We need someone that understands the needs of the people, takes the time to understand what their challenges are so they can represent them in the greatest capacity. And that's something my opponent's not willing to do. And as a lifelong North Carolinian who completely adores this state, I look forward to having the privilege of serving the people of North Carolina's 13th district and in a way that's meaningful, in a way that it serves them in the best way possible. And the first thing I'll do when I get to Washington, D.C. is put a sign on my door that says this office belongs to the people of North Carolina's 13th district. I understand that I'm a temporary resident of that office, and it's my duty to serve them every single day. And that's what I look forward to doing.
Temporary. So are you for term limits? How temporary would you imagine your stay might be?
Well, it depends on how long my constituents won't be there. But in the grand scheme of things, I am for term limits. I believe that, not having term limits contributes to the swamp that we see in Washington, D.C. as people spend decades at a time there. I'm not for that. I believe in fresh voices. I believe in fresh leadership. And, I believe that having people that are energetic and ready to go fight for their constituents benefits not only, their district at home, but the country as a whole. And that's something that, we look forward to being a part of.
One of the big ways a lot of Democrats have fought Republican challengers this cycle is to make abortion a federal issue. Even though it was turned back to the states, as we all know, with the overturning of Roe, Democrats say Republicans may try to pass a national abortion ban. I'm sure you saw a few weeks ago now, Lindsey Graham had proposed maybe a 15-week national ban. Would you sign on to it, a national law or rule pertaining to abortion?
Well, I think this issue has been pushed back to the states, and I think that's where we leave it for right now. I have not had a chance to review Senator Graham's legislation, but I will certainly do that as soon as I get up there. And we'll be making decisions based on what our constituents' needs are and what their thought process is regarding especially these hard issues to talk about. But in the grand scheme of things, this race is about the economy. This race is about crime. This race is about rampant inflation. And those are things we have to get under control. And I'll add to that, this race is about parental rights. We've seen parents have their rights trampled on in this country for too long. And parents want to have a say in what their children are taught and at what age they're taught certain material. This is common sense stuff. And I think that's the issue, really, or the issues, I should say, that people are focused on in this election cycle. And that's what the Republican Party should be focused on in the next Congress.
I read a quote from you that you're not there. I think it was a show horse that you're going to Congress to, you're not going there to be some star, that you want to work. Other than putting a sign up on your door, what is maybe the first thing you want to do, like actually work on in terms of first things?
Well, the first thing we have to do is get inflation under control. And I think we do that by passing a balanced budget amendment, which we haven't done since 1995. And I think that's something the Republican Party owes the American people. We have to balance our checkbooks in my household, and the U.S. government should have to do the same thing. They're not immune to that. And I think we should be focused on reining this inflation. I think we should be focused reining in this inflation and honestly unleashing American energy so people aren't paying through the nose at the pump. This is something that these are pretty common sense solutions to big problems, but it's a necessary step for the government. That's what I'll be pushing for as soon as I get there.
This seat is former Congressman Ted Budd's, if I'm correct. I know it's been redrawn, as have pretty much all districts, and it might be a little bit more blue, but you've got parts of Raleigh in there. North Carolina is growing like crazy, and that's great, but it's adding a lot of stress and pressure on housing and rent prices in particular. I know that might seem more like a local issue, right? That's really more left up to state leaders and county leaders. But what do you tell your potential constituents about that, as they are already dealing with, as you've noted, high cost of living and inflationary pressures?
Well, it's twofold. We welcome economic development in the state of North Carolina. And obviously, we want to see our business community thrive and prosper. But in the grand scheme of things, it's also about preserving costs, making sure that it's affordable to be a North Carolinian. And I think that's on the forefront of many lifetime residents here in our state and many new residents as well. But I think the best way that we do that is electing conservative leaders that will fight to rein in the inflation problem. We'll fight to make sure that our energy production is up here at home so that the price of goods continue to go down. And I think that's something that not only benefits my constituents here in North Carolina's 13th district, but benefits the entire country as a whole. And North Carolina is not immune to population increases. And I know there are a lot of other states and a lot of other districts dealing with the same thing, but North Carolina is a great place to live, so I can't blame people for wanting to come down here and join us. But yeah, we hope they vote in a direction that helps to preserve costs. And I think that that direction entails voting for a Republican to represent them.
As you know, there was a mass shooting in Raleigh last month. A teenage boy sadly killed his own brother, it appears, and then shot others at the Noose River Trail. Would you have signed on to the gun legislation that passed this year? It did pass with some Republican support.
You know, honestly, I'd have to take a look at the legislation itself. I am vehemently against, you know, infringing on people's Second Amendment rights. I think that people have the right to protect themselves, their families, and if necessary, defend themselves against a tyrannical government. I mean, that's what the Second Amendment is in place for. And I think we need to be investing a lot more into mental health in this country than we do into restricting, you know, Second Amendment rights of folks. I don't think that does anything to, you know, under a mental health crisis in our country. And in large part, we've locked people down over the course of the pandemic for, you know, a year and a half. And I think that that creates some mental health problems that need to be addressed. But we should be investing in that rather than, you know, stripping people's rights away, in my opinion.
Okay, just a couple more. I don't know if you're millennial or Gen Z. I think you're maybe like on the younger side of millennial. But you've got Caroline Leavitt running in New Hampshire and Maxwell Frost running in Florida. I know they're Gen Z, but you would be among the youngest members if elected. How do you feel your youth or your age benefits you and maybe would slow you down? Because I imagine you've imagined this possibility of working with, you know, like 50 and 60 year olds every day.
Yeah, you know, I think it'll provide, you know, a great benefit to the U.S. Congress to have some younger representation. I think that we've dealt with, you know, a lot of different issues in our generation that maybe some of the older folks in our party have not. And we look forward to sharing our experiences with them in the next Congress. But, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I think our youth gives us a lot of energy and also allows us to appeal to a broader generation of Republicans that are upcoming. You know, I tell people all the time when they ask, how do we appeal to the youth? And I say, well, you got to show people it's cool to be Republican. You got to show people it's cool to be conservative. And I think that candidates like Caroline Leavitt, myself, and many others across the country are doing that. And we look forward to leading the charge and welcoming the younger vote for the Republican Party.
How did you, because a lot of people in their mid-20s are sort of figuring out, you know, a lot about life. And you said you come from a family of small business owners. Were you politically active when you were younger? Like who got you into politics?
Well, you know, I just think that coming from a family of business owners, you see what the government does, you know, when they overstep, when they create different boundaries and create a lot of red tape you have to cut through to succeed. I mean, that creates an interest, whether you like it or not, because you're fighting for your businesses to prosper and you're fighting for the folks that work in your family. And you know, that's something we've dealt with for a long time. But you know, in the grand scheme of things, I started dabbling a little bit in politics and interned on Capitol Hill in a few different offices. I got my feet wet in North Carolina politics. So I was an intern for Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest here. I ultimately think that just watching what was happening to our country, watching us lose, you know, the next generation that, in my opinion, has been brainwashed in large part by institutions of academia. You know, we need some young conservative leaders to step up and share our message in a way that's palatable. And will be received, because it's very important that we lay the groundwork for the next generation of what it means to be a conservative. And I look forward to leading the charge on that.
Last one. You and your opponent don't agree on much, but you do agree that maybe we've given enough funding to Ukraine. And I just want to know why you feel this way, given that many other Republicans, you know, do think that maybe there shouldn't be a blank check, but there should still be continued funding to Ukraine, especially given the gains they've made with what we've provided. You know, are you flexible on this, or do you feel like we should not be giving any more money?
Well, you know, I think we have to protect the American people first. I mean, we have millions of illegal migrants flowing over our border. We can't properly vet these folks, and that poses a present danger to the American people. And I think we should be pouring our resources into our own southern border and defending our own country before, you know, we spend most of our time looking at what's happening in the European theater. And, you know, obviously, you know, we all accept that Vladimir Putin is a foreign adversary of the United States and is certainly an enemy of the United States. And we make no bones about that. But in the grand scheme of things, it's very important that we pay attention to what's going on here in our backyard before we start playing in the international theater.
North Carolina Republican congressional candidate Beau Hinds, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.